Well, good morning. How's everybody doing today? It's a great Sunday, isn't it? Whew, I'm glad y'all are here. If you don't know me, my name's Todd. I'm the pastor. Just want to welcome you if you are a guest. Thank you for coming. We'd love to connect with you. Best way to do that is fill out the connection card in the seat back in front of you and let us know how we can be a blessing to you. And our heart is a church, by the way, and it's on everything that we put out. It's we exist to reach people and build lives. And so my heart is that all of us recognize that we are called to be a part of that. Because I believe that's God's heart for all of us, which is why this series, and Born for This, where we wrap up this morning. Y'all know we wrap up Born for This this morning. Did y'all know that? Good. Some of y'all did. Okay, can y'all talk to me today? Yeah. We're going to have some fun. It's an oddball message for me. But I think it's a really good one. I know that sounds kind of crazy. Thanks, Pastor. We're here on the day that you call it an oddball message. It's all related to our purpose. And our purpose, I believe, though not wrapped up to completion and Born for This, my heart was six areas that if we can get these things, like an understanding of these six areas of our life, we can fulfill the purpose for which God created us. And each of those areas really is what God's created us for. The first one was born to know God. Everybody is born to know God. There's a God-shaped hole in all of us that we will never walk in fulfillment until we know God. The second thing that God created all of us for was for growth. We are born to grow in our walk with Him, to grow emotionally, to grow spiritually, to grow together. The third thing that we're created for is generosity, that we are not to be people who hold on to things and live in a place of lack. The only way we'll ever get to where we live in the place of freedom from fear and in the place of abundance is when we recognize that we've been called to be generous people, just generous with our heart, our soul, our time, generous with our resources. We are called to know God, to grow. We're called to be generous. We were born for those things. We're also born to connect because there's not just a God-shaped hole in each of us. There's also a people-shaped hole because it is not good that man is alone. Like, it is not good for us to be alone. We're born to connect. Last week, we talked about the truth that there's greatness that's written on all of us in our heart and that we are born to make a difference. And my heart and passion is to see you grow in first, if you don't know God, that you know Him and that you grow in Him, that you live in a place of abundance and generosity, that you live in a place where you're connecting not just with God, that your relationship with God is so personal it doesn't impact anyone, but that you do life with the people around you because you were born to connect, that as you step outside of yourself, you make a difference. And today, we're wrapping up the series with Born to Multiply because all of us were born to multiply. And it just really grieves me that so often when people hear a pastor talk about multiplication, they instantly go to dollars. And the reality is that that's not what I really don't believe that's what God's talking about at all. That what He's done inside of me, that I want to see that multiplied. The good things that God's done for me, the areas where He's met me, the areas where there's been transformation, the areas of darkness that God's shined His light in, I've allowed it and welcomed it and opened the dark areas of my heart. Those areas can get multiplied in the people around me if I let Him. And my passion is for us to recognize that everybody here is called to reach people because the truth is, if you know God at all, you were reached. You were reached in somebody. Somebody was used by God to reach you with His love. How many of you here, like, your life is transformed because somebody shared God's love with you? Man, that's pretty much everybody. And so as a church, everything that we put out says reaching people and building lives. Why? Because I believe that that is the great commission that we see in Matthew 28, where Jesus says, go and make disciples. What is He saying? He's saying, reach people. And we don't just reach people, but we want people to build their lives on the revelation that Jesus is the hope of the world. And as I was preparing for this message, and it's not in your notes, you can get your notes out if you got them in the worship guide or you're using an app, but it's Isaiah 54:2. And as I was praying this morning, God just put this verse in my heart, and it says, enlarge the place of your tent. This is God speaking through the prophet Isaiah, and He says, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your curtains wide. Don't hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. God has called us, I really believe, both individually and corporately as a church to enlarge the place of your tent, which is why we're in the middle of a campaign where we're enlarging the actual place, the actual facility. Y'all excited about that wrapping up? Woo, it'll be wrapped up soon. So enlarging the place of your tent, why? Why is God speaking that here? And why do I really feel that He's speaking that to us today? Because we have to make a place for those who aren't here yet. And that place first begins in our heart. So we'll never see the multiplication in our church. We'll never really see the multiplication in our lives of what God's done inside of us unless we first have a heart for God doing something in people who aren't here yet or aren't in our lives yet. Are you guys following me? And so, man, I really believe this is a message for today. Enlarge the place of your tent. So my question for you is your heart big enough to reach this community? I don't say that condemningly. I say that convictingly, that God's putting that on me. Is my heart big enough to reach this community? The areas where God's driven away the darkness in my life. The good things that he's done, do I have a heart to see that in the people around me? And the truth is that sometimes that can be convicting because we may have to say, maybe not so much. Let me just remind you that Jesus says, he said, the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus paid the price for your sin and my sin. The question that I'm asking myself and all of us, am I willing to be used by him to bring light to people? Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Don't hold back. Lengthen your cords. Let me just tell you, this is both, I think, for us, both corporate and individual. Corporately, I know what God's called us to reach the thousands and thousands and thousands of people in this region that don't know him. I know that in Church of the King, there's more than one venue. I think there's quite a few venues. I look at what God's doing in our small groups. And listen, if you haven't gotten in a group, get in a group. It's not too late. If you want to host a group, get connected with people. Because God does something in a people who come together with the same heart, the same mind, the same soul to see God's kingdom come on earth just like it is in heaven. It's what Jesus said that we should pray. But we first have to enlarge the place of our tent. That begins with our heart. I think in the physical realm, it's so often a mirror of what's going on in the spiritual. And I just believe, and we've seen it. We've seen tremendous growth even in the last year. And even in the last few months, we've just seen growth and added a 12:30 service and, you know, increased our attendance by over 20% just by adding one more service. And here's the interesting thing, is not with people who are normally, like, it's people that were like, where are y'all from? Well, we heard you started a 12:30 service. Why do we do that? Because God's called us to reach people and to make a place for those who aren't here yet. And my heart is that we recognize it's part of our purpose. It's part of our purpose. Look at Mark chapter 2, it says, and this is Jesus, it says, but when the teachers of the religious law who were Pharisees saw him eating, Jesus, eating with tax collectors and other sinners, they asked his disciples, this is just crazy, why does he eat with such scum? Why does he eat? So the religious leaders look at the people that Jesus is hanging out with, and he's saying, why is he eating with all these scumbags? Okay, I want us to look at this verse through the lens of our lives. The teachers of the religious law, they saw him eating, tax collectors, other sinners. Why does he eat with such scum? Do people look at me and go, why is he hanging out with those people? Why is he, look at the next verse. Look at the next verse. It says in verse 17, but Jesus heard this, and this is what he said to them. Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I've come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know that they are sinners. So here's Jesus saying, well, wait a minute. I came for people who are sick and they don't even realize it. For people who were walking in darkness, and they don't even see that they're in darkness because they've never encountered the light. I've come for those people. And the people who think that they're righteous, I didn't really come for them, but for those who know they are sinners. So here's why I want us to look at this verse, because if I think that I am righteous, Jesus says to me, oh, I didn't come for you because you think you got it all together. Does this make sense? Let me just tell you, like, we do exist for those who aren't here yet, but how we view those who are living in darkness and whether we view them through the lens of self-righteousness or compassion is going to make the difference as to whether or not we reach them. If I view people through the lens of, well, I'm right, and they're scum, you are missing the heart of Jesus in it all. Jesus says, what are you talking about? Why am I eating with such scum? I didn't come for people who have it all together or think they have it all together. I came for those who were living in darkness. You know, you hear the churchy term like, well, we exist for those who are lost. Okay, what does that mean? That means people who are wandering through life, trying to figure out who they are, where they are, why they exist, and what they're going to do. And so if you know anybody who is in that place, or maybe you're in that place, Jesus came for those people that don't recognize that they can't see the next step. And here's the funny thing is, and nobody in here that I know of, and maybe you can, nobody here can predict the future. Can you predict the future? I mean, we bet on the future, like the Patriots are gonna win it. Well, sorry, they didn't. Actually, I'm not sorry at all. But can I just tell you that I don't know what tomorrow may bring. And we live in a very dark and broken world. And I wanna live as righteously as I can by the leading of the Holy Spirit, knowing that it is His word that lights my path. But I am not going to sit and put people in darkness simply because I think I have it all together. Am I making sense here? I mean, Jesus heard this. Wait, well, they don't need a doctor. I'm eating with scum. What are you talking about? I didn't come for people who think they have it all together. Guess what he's saying to the Pharisees? He's saying, you think you got it all together? Obviously, I didn't come for you. I'm coming for those who know they're sinners. And let me tell you, everybody knows when they're doing wrong. They can say, I'm doing right. What's the problem? Why are you judging me? No, we're not talking about that. Like, we know when we're doing wrong. And here's the truth. I recognize that it is Jesus who has made me right, but in my own strength, guess where I am? I know me. I'm a sinner. Are you? I don't have to walk in that sin. I don't have to live in that sin, but I know my nature and my humanity and my strengths and my weaknesses, and my strongest strength is not enough to make me right with God. It is the grace of God through Jesus that makes me right. So we shouldn't think that, oh, well, I've got it all together. And we look at people through the lens of condemnation instead of compassion. Let's look at people through the lens of compassion. And look at Mark 2, 1 through 5. It says, when Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon, the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors. But don't pastors love this? Soon, the house where he was staying was so packed. I've heard it said, and it's probably true, that the only person who likes a packed out church is the pastor. Because, man, I want people to pack in. Why is that? I think there's a scriptural basis why I like packed churches. You ready? Soon, the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors, there was no more room even outside the door. Because where he was staying, when Jesus shows up, people flock to him. The reason that so many churches don't grow is not because they don't want to. Maybe, and I'm not saying this condemningly, I'm saying maybe we're not looking like Jesus. Because when Jesus shows up, he brings life, he brings hope, he brings love. John 10:10, one of my life verses, Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. Well, who doesn't want that? Jesus says, you got to get over yourself and not think that you are righteous in the way and look at people through the lens of condemnation. That soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors, there was no more room even outside the door. And while he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. Look at the rest of verse 3. It says, they couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd. So they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Man, I love this story. It's not very long, but these four guys hear that Jesus is speaking at somebody's house. And so they go and they don't just go alone. They bring their paralyzed buddy who can't move. And when they get there, they realize there's no way to get their friend who really needs to see Jesus because he's stuck. He can't move. He can't do anything for himself. It's a picture of those who are lost, those who are wandering through life, and they may be going through the motions, but the reality is that they are spiritually immobilized and dead and living in darkness, and they know it. But it requires some people to bring them to Jesus. It's the seeds of multiplication beginning to take root. And I think these four guys are getting it. And they lowered this man on his mat. They dug through the roof and lowered him right in front of Jesus. I wrote this, and you can just write this off to the side. It said, we will do anything short of sin to reach people who don't know Christ. We have to have a passion for people who are in darkness, and we have to have a passion to bring them to light. To reach people no one is reaching, we'll do the things that no one is doing. And my heart and passion for each of us, and I want us to get it, is that we allow God to use us. And the tiny seed, maybe of something that God has done in you, you bring that seed of life and light and you plant it in the people around you. That's multiplication. Multiplication isn't about, I'm gonna bring my money to the church and it's gonna, oh God, I believe you're gonna prosper me. No. Multiplication is not about physical assets. Multiplication is about spiritual principles and spiritual truth that has invaded our soul, driven out the darkness, and there's an area of light, but it's also a seed that if we allow God to use us and plant it in the people around us, simply by sharing your story of what God has done, you can transform lives. Look, all we're responsible for is bringing people to Jesus. Jesus does the rest. So what are the keys to supernatural multiplication? I think there's three simple keys. Here's the first one. Bear someone's burden. Bear someone's burden. Look what it says. While he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. When was the last time you picked up someone who was broken and brought them to Jesus? When's the last time you did that? I don't say that to be ugly or condemningly. I'm saying that inquisitively. When was it? I have to ask myself that question. Platform time doesn't count. When am I taking people who are broken, stuck, immobile, can't move? When am I bringing them? When's the last time I brought somebody like that to Jesus? Are you willing to bear someone else's burden? Or do you look at the guy on the street corner with the sign and go, get a job, loser? Do I have compassion? If you look at the miracles of Jesus over and over and over in Scripture, I challenge you to study them. So often, actually the majority of the time, it says, Jesus was moved with compassion. Do I have compassion on the plight of people? Or do I look at them condemningly? Do I bear other people's burdens? Well, Pastor, I've got my work, stressed out there. I've got my family. I'm trying to provide for them financially. I'm dealing with the relationships in my family. I'm dealing with my marriage. I'm dealing with stress all over the place. And you are saying that I should bear somebody else's burdens. Yeah, absolutely. In fact, Jesus puts it this way in Matthew chapter 11. He says, for my yoke is easy to bear and the burden I give you is light. And the reality is that when we bear Jesus's burden, it's always for people. And when we have the burden for that Jesus says, hey, you are supposed to carry this. He says, my yoke, this is the yoke of Jesus in our life. It's people. And when you say, Jesus, use me to reach people. Use me to be your light in the darkness of people's lives. He will. And this is what you're gonna find, that it's not heavy. It's easy. Doesn't mean that it's not difficult. That's not like contradictory. It's fun. It's life-giving because you're carrying the burden of Jesus. Can I just say, and I mentioned this last week, that you can do things in your own strength and it be overwhelming. You can do good things in your own strength that are a good idea, but if it's not a God idea, it's gonna wear you out instead of fulfill you. But when you come to the place where you say, God, where you've made a tremendous difference in my life, use me in that way to be your light and life to people around me. Listen to me, he will. Some of you today, you need to pray for divine appointments. And then you need to, in the morning, say, God, just put people in my path and let me see what you see. Give me your words. This is just super practical, guys. How many of you wanna see multiplication and a God multiplication take place in your life? Here's how. God, I wanna have a burden for what burdens you. Let me see. And God, put people in my path that I know are from you. Just I know are from you. And Jesus says, that burden, it's easy to bear. It's light. And it's life-giving and fun. Unfortunately, I think many times in church, people have thought that the kingdom of God is built on information. And so they read the Bible, and they should. It's a good thing. They memorize scripture, and that's a very wise thing. You know, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. It's one of my life verses, and I'm a huge advocate of reading the Bible. I'm a huge advocate of scripture memorization. But if you're reading the Bible, memorizing scripture, if you're discoursing on theological precepts like, I don't know, dispensational theology versus covenant theology, or Arminianism versus Calvinism, and you have a relationship with God that is informational and only informational, you're missing the point. Because it is not about information. Because here's the reality, and I want you to fill this in on your notes. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Like, man, I'm glad that you've memorized a chapter out of all 66 books in the Bible. That's awesome. But can I tell you this? The person who's hurting and far from God, they don't care. Man, I'm so glad that you can discourse on covenant theology versus dispensational theology, and but that's really great and all, but people don't care. And truthfully, I don't care either. Nobody cares. Because here's what people care. They care that you care. You want to make an impact in somebody's life? You show compassion to somebody who's in a place of need. That's what Jesus did. And he made an eternal impact, not just in the lives of people that we read about in the Bible, but in my life, because somebody cared enough about me to reach out to me. How many of you today, your relationship with God began when somebody began to reach out to you? Come on, raise them high. Don't be ashamed. Look at that. That's hands all over the place. This is what we're called to recognize, that there is a purpose that is bigger than ourselves. And it is not about personal fulfillment. It is about transcendence. And when I live beyond myself and I allow what God has done in my life to be a seed that I deposit in the lives of people around me, there is a spiritual principle that takes root. It is the principle of the seed, and it's the principle of multiplication, that we don't know what's on the other side of our faith and stepping out and sharing the truth and love to people who are in a place of darkness, pain, or far from God. Begins when you bear somebody's burden. And here's what's really cool, is that we're a church that does that over and over. I hear story after story of people. They were in my small group, and they'd never actually... I had somebody this week tell me about their small group. I can't remember the specifics, but I remember that they were dealing with a young lady who had really had bad experiences with Christians in general and in church. And so she gave our church a try, and then she got into groups, and she said, I've never really been able to connect. And like, I've really been in a tough spot. And this is the first time that people reached out to me. And I had to step up and say, okay, I think I'm gonna try this group thing. But group leader reached out to me. I came, and God's transformed my life, because somebody stepped out, somebody invested, and a life's transformed. And it's, here's the thing, people like, well, why is the church growing? The two things. Number one, it's a God deal. It's really a number one. It's a God thing, but here's the second thing. Here's why. And you can write this, it's in your notes, because we don't just invite people to church, we bring them. And there's a spiritual principle I want you to get. You guys are awesome, by the way, about not just inviting people to church, but bringing people to church. And it is one thing to invite somebody into the place that God has for them, and it is another to pick them up, like those four guys picking up that paralyzed guy and bringing them to Jesus. If you want to see your purpose in life fulfilled, you start bringing people to Jesus. And that's not just at a church service, because let me remind you that the church is not a building. Y'all know that? You know that the church is not a service that you go to on Sunday mornings. The church is people. whose lives have been transformed because they met Jesus. And the reason that churches grow, it is a God deal. It's because people encounter God, and then they bring, because of the life and the light that's in their life, they bring people that they know, like, man, they don't get it. They don't see it. They bring them to Jesus, and the life and light that was in them, God does a work in those people that they bring. Bear someone's burdens. Spiritual multiplication. And here's the great thing. Spiritual multiplication in our lives personally, when we begin to bear other people's burdens and bring people to Jesus, here's what multiplies: the fruit of his Spirit, which is all really wonderful things. Just the first three: love, joy, and peace. How many of you would like love, joy, and peace multiplied in your life? Then bear Jesus's burden. And here's the lie of the enemy: you don't have time for that. You can barely take care of yourself. How can you take care of somebody else? Oh my goodness, I know that they're a total mess. Just don't mess with them. Let me just remind you this. And I wrote this at the top of my page. Our mission is messy because people are a mess. And so are we in our own strength. But when we bear people's burdens and we bring them to Christ, Jesus does what only he can do. And he brings wholeness and healing and light and life. All we have to do is be the guys who pick someone up and like, all right, I'm bringing you to Jesus because I know what he's done in my life. Here you go, Jesus. And he does the rest of the work. Do y'all think that I'm staying up at night and saying, man, I've got to make sure that man, the end of the service, like I've got to get this right because people need to come to know Jesus. Okay, I kind of am. But it's not so much in the delivery. It's, are we willing to bear the burden and the pain and the place of darkness where people find themselves lost and bring them to light and life and hope? First thing, bear someone's burdens. Here's the second thing. Be willing to do whatever it takes to reach people. Do whatever it takes. Let me just tell you right now that God's plan for your life will be an inconvenience to you. And it's worth it. It's the best inconvenience ever. Truly, I told God when he was like speaking to me, is like, you're going to serve me with your life. It wasn't with that voice, but God spoke to me. It's a much better voice, I'm sure. God spoke that to me. It's like the words that he spoke to me when I was scared to death and going on an outreach in my youth group when I was 14 years old. God just very clearly spoke to me, this is what you'll do with your life. And I had no idea what that meant. And I prayed, even at a later date, even when I was older, I was like, God, I remember that, and I will go anywhere you want me to go, except Lake Charles. True story. And what in that moment, what I thought would be a tremendous inconvenience and something that I really didn't want to do is what God used to bring fulfillment and wholeness and life. And here's the thing, it's just the beginning for all of us. But I have to be willing to do whatever it takes to reach people. What area of your life are you holding on to and saying, every area but this? Because let me tell you right now, God wants all of you. Because all of you and all of him is all it takes to make an eternal difference in the world around you. But when you hold on to a little portion of yourself, I'm telling you, it just blocks everything. Are you willing to do whatever it takes? They couldn't bring him to Jesus, verse 4, because of the crowd. So what did they do? They dug a hole through the roof above his head, and they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Our mission's messy because people are a mess. I wrote this off to the side. Never be afraid to make a mess to reach people, because people are messy, and it is easy to stay away from people who are messy. Isn't it? I don't like messy people. And that sounds really terrible now that I've verbalized that. Like, but I'll just be honest. I like nice, neat, like everything's in order. Like, yep, good to go. But the reality is that people are a mess, and I have to be willing to do whatever it takes to reach them. Am I doing that? Am I? Matthew 11:29 says, take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you because I'm humble and gentle at heart, you'll find rest for your souls. When you take the yoke of Jesus upon you, he teaches you how to have a heart for people. But you have to be willing to do whatever it is he asks of you. You may say, I will do anything but work with kids. Well, guess what? God has a sense of humor. You may end up working with 100 kids. Who knows? I don't know, but I do know this, that you have to be willing to do whatever it takes. So many people fall short. They fall short of their purpose and their fulfillment because they put limitations on how God will use them. Please don't do that. Please don't do that. You want to see love, joy, and peace and the fruit of God's Spirit multiplied in your life. You want to see life. Jesus says, I've come that you may have life and have it to the full. If you want to see that full life, stop putting limitations on God in your life. Do whatever it takes to reach people. This portion where he says, take my yoke upon you. He says, let me teach you because I'm what? What is this word right here? Humble. Humility says, God, here I am. Embrace it. And when you say, God, here I am, and you're humble, you look at people through the lens of compassion and not through the lens of condemnation. Next blanks that you can fill in says, we aren't called to judge those who don't know Christ. This has been a chronic problem in the body of Christ. We judge those who don't know Christ. We are called to bring them to Jesus. Do I look at people through the lens of condemnation? I cannot believe they did that. Really? Really? Come on. People are people. They're messed up. They're sick. They're broken. They're perverted. They're all of those things. And if we look at them through the lens of condemnation, what we don't necessarily see is that we're actually full of pride and we've made it about ourselves. And through somebody's brokenness, we're propping ourselves up just as broken, just in a different way. Don't judge people who don't know Christ. Simply bring them to Jesus because they're broken. If you saw somebody on the side of the road that had obviously been in an accident and they were messed up and full of blood and guts, but they were still breathing, what would you do? Would you stop and help, or would you be like, oh, that's a mess. Let me just continue on. I hope somebody else stops. I don't think anybody here would continue on. Would you? Do we do that spiritually? We have to be willing to do whatever it takes. And here's the third thing as we wrap up. We have to believe for a miracle. We have to believe for a miracle. How many of you want to see miracles in your life? Well, let's look at the greatest miracle that we see. Here it is, Mark 2:5. It says, seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man. So they brought this guy who's paralyzed, and Jesus looks at him and says, man, he's looking at their faith, go, these guys really believe I can do something huge. And this is what Jesus does. He says to the paralyzed man, my child, your sins are forgiven. Let me just remind you that the greatest miracle on the face of the earth is not somebody's limb regrowing or not being miraculous and supernaturally healed of cancer or some terminal illness. The greatest miracle that can ever take place is when we have enough faith to believe that Jesus is going to show up in people's lives and forgive sin. Now, the spiritual people, they were outraged. And in fact, we're not going to read it. It's in your notes, though. They say to themselves, how can he forgive sin? Who does he think that he is? He's blaspheming. And Jesus, knowing what's in their hearts, he says, you think I'm blaspheming? He says, just to show you who I am, that I am who I say I am, the Messiah. Yeah, I said I'll forgive his sins, but to show you that I have the authority and the power to do that, I'm gonna do this as well. And then he looks at the guy and says, go ahead and get up, take up your mat and get out of here, go home. And the guy does, freaking out, excited. So often, we focus on the physical miracle and we forget about the transformed lives. Man, this morning we probably had 10 people in the first service that gave their heart to Jesus. Sins were forgiven. I mean, it was awesome. Isn't that great? Yeah. 70,000 people in Lake Charles. Maybe 10,000 of them are in church this morning. And of that 10,000, we're not even gonna speculate how many of them really know Jesus. I don't know. 25,000 in Sulphur. 9,000 and Moss Bluff. I mean, this whole region, there's not, the whole metropolitan area of Lake Charles is not a ton of population, about 140,000 people. That includes most of Beauregard, or a lot of Beauregard, all of Cameron, all 2,800 people of them. Like about 140,000 people, and generally in about an hour and 15 minute drive from here. How many of them need the miracle of forgiveness and freedom and life that Jesus has to offer? There's a destiny on this house to reach thousands who are far, far from God. But it begins when we bear someone's burden and we say, God, I'll do whatever it takes. I'll do whatever you ask of me to reach people. Let's bow our heads. If you're here today and maybe you're that person in that dark place. Maybe you feel like you're just stuck. You're paralyzed in life. I'm just saying, Jesus is here today. Maybe whoever you came with, or maybe it's even me with my voice right now speaking to you. I'm saying, you have been brought to Jesus, and you need forgiveness. You need a relationship with him. You feel like there's darkness in your life, like you're stuck, like you can't move, like you can't get out of where you are. And let me tell you right now that Jesus is alive and well. He's not some guy on a cross. He's the Savior of the world, the Messiah for all of us, and he's here today. We may not be able to see him or touch him, but you can sense him right now knocking on the door of your heart. And he's saying to you, I know you. I love you. I want you to know me. Open your heart to me. If you're here today, nobody's looking around. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I just want to pray for you right where you are. If that's you today and you know that this message is for you and that Jesus, you can sense him knocking on the door of your heart, that's you, just raise your hand right where you are. I just want to pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Back here, I see you over here. Over here, I see you. Thank you. Well, let's just all pray together, all of us right now. Just repeat after me. Say, Dear Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I turn from my ways. I turn from the darkness of sin. I give my life to you. Cleanse me. Forgive me. I choose to walk in your light. My life is yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give them a hand? And it's awesome. Love you guys. It's a great Sunday. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, two things. The first one is take a moment and fill out the connection card in the seat back in front of you. You can put it in the offering when it comes by. It's a great way to connect with people who have a heart for you and can help you in your walk with God and the reason why you're on this planet. And the second thing is this, is at the end of every service, our ministry team is up at the front. If you need prayer, don't walk out of here without praying with someone. Love y'all. Best is yet to come. Pastor Chris.